You know, sometimes I think it's good to look back and see perhaps much later in life how God has delivered you through many situations. And perhaps it's later on in life you understand a little bit more of how he has guided you through. Yes, I'm sure for each one of us, there'll be those things of your past perhaps you really want to try and forget, as difficult as that is. But through it all, you're here today because of God's deliverance. When we started this book of Exodus right back, beginning of last year, I think it was, we said at the beginning, it's all about deliverance, but it's about deliverance God's way, by following God's way. I made the statement, didn't I, that one can't understand all that goes on here with human thinking. Because in human terms, it would have been a possible happening for the children of Israel to escape the might of Pharaoh and to be delivered from that fortress of slavery that they were in. But God. And you know, I love those two words. Throughout 2021, as we move through the first six chapters, we learned, I trust, God's protecting hand on his chosen one. In this case, Moses. From birth, from the clutches of Pharaoh, through trying to sort things out in his own way, to the protection in the wilderness years as a shepherd in Midian. We now have got to the point where trusting and following God's commands. We said Moses had a life of 120 years, 40 years thinking he was somebody, a prince in the palace, 40 years learning he was a nobody, a shepherd, considered the low of the low in those days, far from God and far from his people. And now 40 years learning what God can do with a nobody. It brings us to the children of Israel being brought out. But I believe that's a lesson for each one of us. As a child of God this morning, if you're trusting Christ as your Savior, you are never a nobody. Never a nobody to God. In fact, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, the fact you're here, you're still not a nobody. Because you're here because God cares for you. And I trust through something that is said this morning, however small, you will see that Christ died for you. Moses, like many people in God's word, we witness the protecting, guiding hand of God on their lives. But now I've got a question for you. Is that just for those we read about in God's word? I ask that question because sometimes when we read God's word, we can be in danger of thinking that's how God worked then. That's what he did for his servants back then. Okay, his servants heard the voice of God, but we have the advantage of God's voice, his word in the Bible. This is God's voice to the world. But I read something even just this morning yesterday, that if you trust and know God, you're God's word to the world as well. As we serve, we too serve the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Moses, a God who never changes. Do you really believe that this morning? I want to do something a little bit different this morning. Something I was going to do when I led for Colin before Christmas, but I said to him that I don't think it's right. It might take a little bit too long. And if I lead, I never want to encroach on whoever is preaching. Now I believe it was God stopping me, not Bob Padgett saying I don't want to do it. But I want to share something with you I believe highlights what I said at the beginning about looking back and seeing how God has guided Moses, yes, through the stages of his life, but also how he guides you and guides me. You can blame Paul Wanklin for this a little bit, actually. We're him and his clocks in the garage. Because like Paul, I haven't got a railway museum to go to. My museum's my garage. You know, we've all got a garage. We never put our cars in it, do we? Because there's so much stuff in there. And my museum's my garage. That's on the wall of my garage. That says West Midlands Savings Bank, Bridge North Branch. This was on my wall of my garage, but I needed more space for shelving. This says TSB Market Street, Shrewsbury, and the opening hours. We even opened on a Saturday, look. This one says TSB 8 Walker Street, Wellington. Saturdays are gone on that one. Now, for those that know me very well, you've got an advantage, because I'm going to ask you, why have I got these three? Why do these three branch plaques mean something special to me? Any idea? It's the three branches that I was actually manager at. And before one of you think, it was a bit drastic, every branch Bob left, he ripped the plaque off the wall and tucked it under his arm and went with him. Can I just say that these all had to come off the walls when Lloyd's and TSB merged, and I managed to ask if I could have them. So they're legally mine. But I want to just show you. See, I left school in 1964, and I went for the job at that branch. It's a Cantonese restaurant now, I think. I went to there. There was only two members of staff. There was a branch manager, and there was a young lady there. I was told to go after 4 o'clock because the branch shut in those days, and I was interviewed by the manager. The young lady left, went home, or wherever she was going, smiled at me, and I sat down for my interview. Little did I know that that young lady's smile would have an effect. 4 years later, I walked down the aisle here with that young lady. This morning, I walked back up the aisle with that young lady. She's only was a little bit older than me, and the years have gone on. I've had to emphasize that little bit older than me. But I joined that bank. I knew God existed because I was brought up on a farm in the middle of nowhere, but my mum and dad sent me to Sunday school at the local village Anglican church. I've got little bits of paper to say I answered all these questions. I've even got a piece of paper that says I was confirmed in the Church of England, and I know somebody else here this morning has got one of those. But you see, when I joined the bank, I knew about God, but it was all up here. I got a head knowledge. He existed. And I thank my parents for that, because so many children today, their parents haven't even taught them that God exists, let alone Christ died for them. But as those 4 years between when I joined and when Chris and I got married, and things got a little bit more serious, she said, would you come to some meetings with me? Yeah, I will, if you'll come to a football match with me. Now, I got Chris to 2 football matches. Guess how many Christian meetings I've been to in those 50? But I still think, it for those who know Chris very well and how much she hates football, and she's had 53 years of Arsenal pushed down her throat, I think getting her to 2 football matches was quite an achievement. And I still think it was quite an achievement. But I went along to Christian meetings, and I soon learned that God had sent Jesus to die for me. I got the knowledge that God existed, but I didn't realize that needed to move into a heart and a soul and an acceptance. And I needed a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's how I became a Christian. So that branch reminds me of one thing. It reminds me that God knew about me before I even knew it. That God had his hand on my life even before I knew it. Think back to Moses in the bulrushes. God had his hand on his life. Now, I'm not trying to liken me to Moses, but that's what it was like. God had a plan. And that reminds me of that God had his hand on my life. Now, you just think back to your earlier life and when you became a Christian. Just think back beyond when you became a Christian. Think, yeah, God had his hand on my life. Well, things moved on. Chris and I had children. Chris left. The branch got bigger. I became an assistant manager, and then I eventually became manager of that branch, and I probably had about 8 or 9 staff. And then, like all big organizations, you know, shake-up, merge, not merger, but shake-ups, and I had to go for an interview to see whether I would still be a manager or be made redundant, because that's what big organizations do. Praise the Lord, I ended up as a manager of Shrewsbury Branch, the head office. I made it. I was manager of head office, the main branch, and I had a sub-branch as well. I had 30-odd staff. I'd arrived. I was the senior manager in the group. I found that I could get the right team together, and I was doing so well. Everything was great. We were successful. We were doing more mortgages than anybody else, more PPIs probably than anybody else. We were doing so much. We were always top in the group, in the area, which covered way above Liverpool. We were always in the top 4 or 5 league tables. I was doing brilliant. I had the regional manager come down to congratulate me. We won awards. Everything was going fine. I was doing great. How many times did I use I there? Have you noticed? Because the problem through that was, because it was quite successful, I thought I was doing it. And as far as my secular life was concerned, I only used God as a crutch when things went wrong. And a few things did, but not many. You see, this branch taught me that even when things are going well, don't forget why they're going well. Don't forget God's hand is on you. I thought I was doing all that, didn't I? Number of times I said I in that. But everything was going well, and then whap, somebody decided to merge Lloyds Bank with TSB. Who decided that? Both sides were not happy about it, but, and I wasn't to be in Shrewsbury anymore. I was deemed not to be good enough for my own branch under the new auspice of Lloyds TSB. And I was put out into the wilderness to Wellington branch. If there's anybody here from Wellington, forgive me. But why do I call it a wilderness? Because very soon I realized when I got there that though Wellington had been a thriving local community, it was dying on its feet because of the emergence of Telford Town Centre. And I soon realized that all the targets I'd been given, I couldn't hit. Things weren't going very well. All the new business was going to Telford Town Centre. Even if people bought a house 500 yards from my branch, when they first came to the area, they went to Telford Town Centre. And things got rough. I still had visits from the regional manager, but it wasn't to congratulate me. It was to kick me up the backside and say, this ain't good enough. When do you think I cried to the Lord more, at Shrewsbury branch or at Wellington? At Wellington. Things were down. I felt really, Lord, get me out of here. I thank the Lord he answered my prayer. And he did get me out of there. I wasn't a manager again. Funnily enough, I went back to Shrewsbury as a service manager in the new, bigger organization. But God answered my prayer and rescued me. And then for the rest of my time in the bank, till I'd done my 40 years, all bar 10 days, which they wouldn't pay me on my pension for, by the way. But you see, God, why I wanted to share this is, and this is my story, but you will have your story. Think back of how God has been with you, even before you knew Christ as your Savior. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, you're here because God has got his hand on you. He wants you to hear about salvation plan, as you often hear about. He wants you to have that personal relationship with him. So why do I really tell you all that? Why did I feel it was really important to share that? Well, you see, throughout that secular employment time, and at times of when I came to know the Lord, that I thought I was great, to into a wilderness, God was still with me through my church life. I'd been involved in this church since I became a Christian. I'd been a youth leader. I'd been treasurer more than once. I'd been a deacon. I'd even been an elder twice. More ups and downs in my church life, if you like, than Blackpool's Big Dipper. Yet I believe God was saying to me, I've still got a work for you to do. And then it was some years ago that God led me in the direction to share God's word with you. So I tell you that this morning because we need to look at the way God has worked in our lives. Things are getting harder and harder day by day. And we need to look how God saved us, how he's guided us so far. And when we look at what we read in his word, and we'll come in a few moments to this passage I read earlier, we worship the same God that did those things. And don't miss what he's done in your life. What he has done, what he will do, and what he will continue to do. And as I look back on my own life, with all its failings, times of doubt, God has never left me. And he won't leave you either. You may be here as a Christian this morning, and I believe most of you are. You know Christ as Savior. Life's pretty good, perhaps. Don't miss, like I did, who's given you that good life. Or you could be here this morning feeling you're in the wilderness like I did at Wellington. Times are difficult. Perhaps your health's not that good. Suddenly comes upon us. Finance, job, relationships, whatever. Cry out to the Lord. Because I know the Lord answered me in that time there. Look back on your life. That was part of my story, but you've got your own. And that's exactly where Moses was at in that passage we read earlier. That despite his doubts, despite his failings, despite thinking he was doing all right, he's now got to face the might of Pharaoh. And up to this point, the confrontation with Pharaoh has all been about words. You remember it was back in November, wasn't it? We said the first confrontation was all about words. It was Moses telling Pharaoh, look, this is what God says. You better listen. It was all about words. But now we're going to see the time has come for action. Time has come for these servants of God to show God's power and perform miraculous signs. And will prove that it was God that was sending them. We see in the following chapters a series of remarkable miracles. But at the outset, let us just consider what was God's ultimate purpose. It was, of course, to bring Pharaoh and the Egyptians to his knees. And let the people, God's people, did you notice in that passage it said, my people. Israelites are God's people. God's word says, my people. And he wanted to get my people out of Egypt. I've told you before that Chris and I have been privileged many times three, four times, to visit Egypt. And if you travel down the Nile, which we did, and you see all the different temples, yes, you see statues of Pharaoh that are mighty. But you also see statues of many, many false gods that the Egyptians worshipped. Apparently, I read the Egyptians worshipped more than 80 different gods. And I'm sure we didn't see those many. But each one could do nothing against the power and majesty of the one true God. Moses and Aaron's God. Yours and my God. God directed each of the plagues against a particular idol of Egypt. These were not random plagues. Don't think that. They all attacked what the Egyptians held as their God with a small g. The God of the Nile. We'll go through those slowly. The God of the Nile, Osiris, is supposed to have the Nile in his blood. I remember seeing statues of Osiris. But then each plague, when we come to them, which will be not this morning, but each plague, when we come to them, attacked a particular god of the Egyptians. So what God was saying, look here, Pharaoh, look here, the Egyptians, you've got your false gods. I'm greater than the god there. I'm greater than your god of the Nile. I'm greater than your god of the fertility, which was the frog's one. I'm greater than Hathor, the cow-like mother goddess of livestock. And he attacked the livestock. I'm greater than Imhotep, the god of medicine. What did he do? A plague of boils. Each plague was a specific strike against what the Egyptians held dear. But also, not the Egyptians. Remember, the Israelites had been there for many, 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 many years. And some of them, we know, had fallen in to worshipping some of these false gods of the Egyptians. But it's the Lord that the thing I want to get over just this morning is that all that is done is because God did it. Not Moses, not Aaron. They were just his servants. God did it. It was the Lord that did these things. Moses and Aaron were very much there, but it was the Lord that overruled and has the glory. And we need to take hold of that perhaps as Christians today in 2022, even here in People's Hall, that we should acknowledge what God has done amongst us here, and we praise God for that. We praise God for bringing us a pastor and his wife. Praise God for that. We need to praise God for what he's doing here. But we must praise him because it's for his glory, not ours. It's not for the leadership's glory or our new minister. I'm calling him new minister, but he's not really new now, is he? But it's not for our glory. It was for God's glory then, and it must be for God's glory now. So Pharaoh and the Egyptians were to learn the hard way of the power and authority of Jehovah, the living God. So then in chapter 8 of verse 7, we have the first sign. And remember, this is a sign. This is not a plague. We're not coming to the plagues till next time, God willing. This was a sign. Moses and Aaron were to obey the Lord. And we see God's power in the sign of the serpent. God, remember, gave this sign to Moses back in Midian. He told him what was doing. He did it in front of Moses. But now they were to perform it in Pharaoh's palace. I read this while I got to this part of my study, and I thought this was really good. It says, here we have two old men and a piece of wood, plus God. Moses was 80. Aaron was 83. And they got a lump of wood. And they're about to tackle the might of Pharaoh. But it said underneath, but you see, two old men and a piece of wood plus God is a majority. Again, what a lesson for us when we face the unknown, when we face things in our lives. What appears an impossible challenge. With God, we have the majority. Think of that in the days of this week. Each one of us will have a challenge in our own way. It will be different to each other. But with God, we have the majority. Well, we read on, and Aaron threw down his staff, and it became a snake. And Pharaoh got his wise men and his magicians, and they did the same. But, and this is a big but, each time Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. We read in verse 13, yet Pharaoh's heart became hard and he wouldn't listen, just as the Lord had said. Because the Lord said, this is going to happen. That said, because back in verse 3 of the chapter, he warned Moses and Aaron that it would be he, God, that would harden Pharaoh's heart. Why? Because in doing so, he could multiply the signs to show his glory and his power. So in closing this morning, and I appreciate it's been a bit different. Closing this morning, what lesson can we take? We can take from this incident of the serpent, the snakes, we see Satan has the power to show people lying wonders. And as we look around our world today, we see lots of people claiming different things, different powers, and they're claiming it's from God. And I don't believe it is. If you turn on some of these channels on the, what they call the God channels on your telly, I cringe. But the Apostle Paul warned us, didn't he? He warned Timothy. He said, he warned that in the last days, Satan will attack God's truth. We're seeing it. Jesus himself warned of Satan's lies and deceit. Those little things that come in. Well, does that really? Therefore, if you find yourself being attacked by the powers of evil, let us remember the power of our God is greater. And of the things I shared with you earlier, I pray that when you go home, each one, you will look back on your life, however long, and it won't be perhaps as long as oldies like me, but look back and see how God's hand has been in your life so far. And that God has rescued you and brought you here to today is the same today, yesterday for Moses, today and forever. Call on him. Trust him. And I trust as we see the need to remember and recognize that what we have comes from God. The good times, the difficult times. See what he's done and let it spur us on. Well, we see that although God had shown Pharaoh his great power and the fact that God's snake swallowed up all these others, we see that God is the great power. But Pharaoh still doesn't listen. And then begin some dreadful plagues. Dreadful plagues. And perhaps, God willing, if it be so, we will look at that another time.